BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Before we introduce our guest and topic for today, and as we begin, I just want to encourage you to be praying for those impacted by Hurricane Dorian. There has been loss of life. There's been much devastation in the Bahamas and other locations in the hurricane's path. Certainly a lot of uncertainty as well pertaining to how the U.S. is going to be impacted. And even as this continues to develop, there's another tropical storm approaching Mexico, the southern tip of Texas, other storms developing as well as we approach the peak of hurricane season. But be praying for those who have been impacted and will be impacted by this current hurricane. Also, again, the very troubling news with the devastation caused by an individual in Odessa, Texas. Those of you listening primarily over KVC in Lubbock know well what this is all about. A man who reported to have failed a gun background check ended up taking the lives of seven, wounding many more. Details continue to develop as to how this individual obtained the firearms, why he pursued this deadly rampage. We see the evilness of mankind on display, ladies and gentlemen, those who despise biblical truth, those who despise biblical teachings. And yes, we do encourage you to be in prayer for those impacted. This is a world that's really in need of Jesus. One who can take a life of anger and hostility and bitterness and become a new creation in Christ. One who can find freedom and forgiveness and hope in Jesus Christ. But there's much on display across this nation, even today, as we approach these very tragic things. Today we're going to be turning our attention to what's going on in the state of California legislatively. So often we have said, as it goes in California, so it goes in the rest of the nation. We bring this to your attention because there are so many issues that begin in this state and they migrate into legislatures all across the nation. So many issues which really showcase a thumbing of their nose at God and biblical principles, and instead fill them with what we find in the book of Judges, as it declares, every man did that which is right in its own eyes. Well, joining us today to discuss this, we welcome Randy Thomason. Randy is a founder and president of SaveCalifornia.com, Campaign for Children and Families, the advocate for parental rights, safeguarding religious freedom and teaching, and activating pro-family citizens to stand for what's right. Randy, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Jim. You're my brother in Jesus, and I really thank you for your leadership there.
Randy, we're going to be discussing a number of pieces of legislation that are making their way through your state legislature right now, and some of these are pieces of legislation that just will cause people to shake their heads and wonder how such things could even be thought of, but it's real. You're facing them right now in the state. But before we get to them, help us understand what has happened to California. California was once a red state. It was a state where Ronald Reagan was governor. It's a state that voted often for GOP candidates. What, in your opinion, has propelled California to go in a complete opposite direction?
Well, there's been a couple things. That's a great question. Well, we have godless government schools, and we have terrible entertainment media. And in California, there are people who have done many bad things. The government unions, especially, are the biggest in California. Unfortunately, Ronald Reagan, when he was governor, he actually signed a bill to allow collective bargaining by public employees. See, that has never been done before. Never could the servants of the people switch the roles to say now they're the bosses and the people are their slaves. And that's what we have right now. Now, he didn't know it at the time, and he probably regretted it. But then, after his successor, Democrat Jerry Brown in the 70s, Brown signed so many union laws that it was just scrubbing the back. Now the unions and the Democrats are joined at the hip. And so we're talking about multi-millions of dollars spent in California. California has the biggest unions, both public and private, and but they rarely support any Republican, and they support the Democrats. So when you have godless government schools educating children, and then the bad stuff that they listen to, they don't do critical thinking. And so they go with whoever the authority is. And so people who don't do critical thinking, they just go with the authorities. And the authorities are the unions in California who do it, the fire unions, the police union, et cetera, et cetera. And they just basically say, well, vote Democrat, and here's why. And I'm getting pretty sick of hearing it every election. I hear the same promises. Education, clean water, safer communities, more jobs. Well, it doesn't get any better because the Democrats, when they get up in Sacramento or state capitol, they tend to vote just whatever hurts jobs, whatever hurts the people. We got people who are liberals moving out of California because they can't stand the high prices that have developed under 60 years of Democrat rule. So that's the background. That's the plate for the stinky food that's being served this year, the bad bills that shock you and me.
Well, Randy, one of the bills that you've been following is one that actually grows government and hurts small business.
Right.
Assembly Bill 5.
The one that's the one about basically the big trampling of small businesses and independent contractors. It's called AB5, and that's very bad because if you have a small business, it's very expensive to have employees, and it's very bad what they're doing because the Democrats want to make independent contractors employers. Well, that doesn't fit a lot of roles. A lot of people want to be independent contractors. They have their freedom. A lot of businesses are designed as independent contractors. Lyft and Uber are just one of those kinds of businesses. You can think of a hairstylist. You can think of all these things. You can think of the small businessman who can't afford an employer, but someone says, yeah, I'll be an independent contractor. You know, it could abolish all this stuff. And the whole reason is because the Democrats want more tax dollars. They know that the employers have to pay more taxes, and so those taxes, a lot of it go to the state government. They just want more people paying more money to the state government. Well, then when the government gets richer, the people get poorer.
Well, Randy, not only are we seeing such a financial deficit that is coming to the state of California, but we are seeing an increasingly growth in a moral deficit in the state there as well. And some of the things we're talking about, they're just rather appalling and should concern us all across this nation. One of which is legislation. We need to keep in mind that there was a lot of fear of flurry and activity leading up to Labor Day weekend, and now we understand that there is about a two-week floor period in which there is lots of things that are before California legislators that they're going to be voting on in what looks like rapid fashion, but will have devastating impact, one of which would mandate that an abortionist phone number be placed on student ID cards. It's AB 624.
Right. We're talking about all children, 7th grade through 12th grade, in the government schools. We're talking millions and millions of kids, and ID cards are becoming vogue in the schools because of security. You know, we want to know who you are on campus. No strangers on campus. And so, yeah, they would have an abortionist phone number right on the very back to Planned Parenthood, the biggest abortion provider in California. And so, yeah, this is going forward, and it is truly radical. Planned Parenthood is one of the pimps of their Democrat prostitutes, the legislators. They work for them, and they will do their bidding. And so, yeah, they want more customers. They want children, girls who have sinned and had sex before marriage, that if they get pregnant, they want them to stay away from their parents, stay away from other people who could help them, stay away from pro-life pregnancy centers. No. Let us kill your child for the sign of Parenthood. excuse me, did we say child? Let's call it a blob or a fetus or something, a thing. Let's take some money, and of course, the taxpayer-funded Medi-Cal, it's called, abortions. That's the big money from the state taxpayers, again, to Planned Parenthood. So it's all a wicked mess.
And folks, legislation like this could be voted on as early as today, this Assembly Bill 624, but again would require that abortion referral number on the back of students' ID cards, on the back of minors' ID cards. I understand that it's for students in grades 7 through 12 having, Planned Parenthood being part of their ready reference. And this would be mandated by this legislation. Another piece of legislation that is up for grabs now at this point or up for passage is Senate Bill 24 that would force universities to offer abortion pills?
Right. Now, this bill didn't pass in previous years, and University of California and Cal State University, these are the tax-funded universities in California, and both of them had trouble with this bill, saying, hey, we don't want the liability. We're not set up to give pills and then monitor the girls, and then they'll be bleeding, and we're not 24-hour care, and, you know, so forth. Well, now the universities have caved, and so this bill is very, very likely to pass the entire legislature. And, again, we're talking about abortion pills causing abortions that have severe side effects and can have life-threatening complications. And the university clinics are not set up to supervise this. And, you know, as we say, with chemical abortions, that's what they are, women always suffer, babies always perish.
My. Always a fatality, folks, and this is some of the legislation that's before the California legislature this week, next week. There's another bill that's really aimed at parental rights as it relates to vaccine exemptions for their children. It's SB 276. What's happening there?
Well, and this, you know, if you support parental rights and medical freedom, you should be against SB 276 because it really is going against families where a child has already been injured by a vaccine. And, the schedule of vaccines is very, very high now compared to when I was a child.
Right.
It shot up with many more injections. And it's going into things that parents used to say was okay. I mean, my sister was sent up the street purposely to catch chickenpox so that she would have natural immunity and would never catch it as an adult. Well, now there's a vaccine for chickenpox. And you have other stories about even mumps and measles, how these are natural and how, it goes right along with hand washing, dirty dishes increases the immunity. But we have all this plastic immunity of vaccinations that wear off. Being vaccinated doesn't protect you. You have to, quote, get the booster. And then the illogic of it, if I'm not vaccinated but you are, how in the world can I threaten you? You mean your vaccine doesn't protect you? You know, it's really weird logic. So the herd immunity doesn't work, but it's supported by the billion-dollar industry of Big Pharma that wants to forcibly inject all children and make a lot of money from it. And so, again, if you're a parent with a vaccine-injured child, you are not going to let the state tell you that that child is going to have a bunch more shots. You don't want them re-injured, and you don't want their DNA-related siblings injured either. Well, there's only two options. If SB 276 is signed into law...
We got to take a break here, Randy. Back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where is the Garden of Eden today?
Chris, we don't know. The location of the Garden of Eden is forever lost. After Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, God placed an angel to guard the entrance so that no one could go there again. There is no such place on earth that's guarded by a fearsome angel. The Bible does tell us, however, that in the days of Noah, the world was totally restructured by that great flood. All landmarks of the previous world were destroyed. The earth was completely restructured by that flood, so we wouldn't expect to find the Garden of Eden. While the names of the rivers that are given in Genesis do correspond to modern-day river names, they don't actually correspond to any known rivers. Chris, let's go back to Genesis and think carefully about what it teaches there.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Randy Thomason is with us today, founder and president of SaveCalifornia.com, their campaign for children and families. And today's program is entitled As It Goes in California, because what so often happens in California makes its way to other state legislatures, and they see the opposition or lack thereof on pieces of legislation, said we need to do that here too. And certainly that is the harm of seeing some things come before the California legislature, and to see the fast track that they are put on to have passed, and what this really means for the rest of the nation. And so, though these are before the California legislature, Randy, I know there's great concern as to the impact that it will have across the nation as a whole.
Sure, right. So we were just talking about parental rights being squashed by forced vaccinations, parental rights down the toilet, and this new bill, SB 276, would actually throw a doctor's recommendation down the toilet. The state will decide if anyone's exempt, and they won't even have very many exemptions. It's really, really quite horrible, and it goes against science, and goes against good health, and it goes against medical freedom. So going against parents there, then there's another bill that goes against foster parents, AB 175. It actually forces foster parents to call a biological boy a girl's name, and to say she or her, and then you have to do that vice versa for the sexually confused biological girls. Well, Sarah, oh, call you Sam, refer to her as he, and to he is she, or she is he. It's confusing. This is the political lies that will be forced upon foster parents in their own homes. What a disincentive for Christians to be foster parents.
Yes. Randy Thomason with us today, and looking at just a number of bills that are right before the California legislature today, this week, next week. And Randy, as you started the transition here, we're seeing a transition to the topic of LGBT QIA bills, so to speak. There is just a vast litany of these bills that have been introduced in California. You mentioned one that it would impact foster parents in particular, that would mandate that they would refer if they have a child that they are a foster parent over who wishes to identify as a gender or whatever that is opposite what their biological sex is. Foster parents would be forced to comply with this. But when we look at the number of bills that are coming forth in California, why is it that that we're seeing such a plethora on this whole LGBT QIA issue?
Because the Democrat Party, which is put there by the unions, the Democrat Party has fully embraced sexual perversity. I mean, the head of the Democrat Party until just recently was a homosexual activist who said publicly how great Harvey Milk was. We currently have the State Senate President of the State Senate, Toni Atkins. She, before she was elected to the legislature, she was a manager of several abortion clinics. She's a homosexual herself, and she's head of the State Senate, so go figure. Hmm. We've had a couple homosexual assembly speakers. So, yeah, here's something to remember. You can't support, quote, gay rights and religious freedom. It's an oxymoron. The homosexual, quote, agenda will always trample religious freedom, parental rights, free speech, ownership rights, property rights, medical rights, rights of association, etc., basically wiping out your constitutional rights. If you've been paying attention to the Kate Baker's lawsuits at the U.S. Supreme Court and then other places, video makers, you understand that also voting for, quote-unquote, gay rights means you're going to support the cross-dressing agenda of chopping off healthy body parts. That's what's being advocated to high schoolers now. And so this is obviously not genetic. A scalpel is not a gene. And I would challenge anyone who says there's a gay gene to show me the proof. We have not only the one who searched for the gay gene saying he didn't find it years ago, and then we had a new study come out this week from Finland, or last week from Finland, that says, you know, it's not genetic. So it's environmental. So, but here we are, the Democrats, the politicians, promoting a big, big lie, and they're just pushing this ad nauseum, and they've gotten almost all the homosexual agenda into law. Now they're pushing the transsexual mm-hmm. agenda. One of the bills that is actually going against not just children but against teachers is AB 493, and this would force public school teachers into in-service training where they say, hey, look, children are born homosexual, bisexual, transsexual, intersex, questioning, queer, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to run out of letters of the alphabet eventually. And those teachers have to sit through this garbage and then be told, well, you go tell this to the children. See, they want the teachers, especially the young ones, they'll get to, because the young ones came up from the godless government schools, a lot of them too. And so it's just going to be more and more lies being taught to children. And I ask, how many sexually transmitted diseases are acceptable? How many early suicides are acceptable? You know, we have real problems. How many AIDS cases are acceptable? How acceptable is it to wipe out religious freedom, parental rights, and property rights because of the LGBTQ agenda, et cetera, et cetera? You know, there are real victims here, all because of lies.
Yes, and this continues into the prison system as well. I see another bill, SB 132, actually deals with biological males who are identifying as female. And they're actually, this bill would require that they be housed with female prisoners?
Yeah, and you know, despite few of us identifying with a prisoner, a convicted criminal behind bars, it shocked me when I first heard about this, because we're talking about a man being unleashed against the women. And it's happened in other places. In England, a man pretended to be a woman, and he went and sexually assaulted women prisoners. He just pretended in order to get to be with the women. So here we would be legislating it and requiring that the prisons have to permit these sexually confused biological males to be housed with the female prisoners. And there's zero concern for the sexual safety or emotional safety of the women prisoners. It just boggles the mind.
I notice in some of these bills that have gone through committees that, and you give the vote as to the vote by Democrats, the vote by Republicans, and one thing I've noticed in some cases, you see Republicans who abstain or are not voting. Is it such that there is a changing on the opinion of people within that party that are saying we no longer want to go on record as taking opposition to some of these things?
Look, I've been doing this for 20 years as statewide leadership in California, and right now there are more state legislators who claim to be Republican who support sexual perversity against constitutional values than ever. There's more that have gone silent in the face of extreme opposition. Very, very few. I don't know if any are really speaking against it in any significant way. So, yeah, this is why I'm a registered independent. I vote for someone who supports family values. I don't just vote for a party. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad to see pro-perversity Republicans, a couple of them, join nearly all the Democrats.
Randy Thomason with us today. And, Randy, I'm also troubled by a piece of legislation that's on the docket as well. It's Senate Bill 145 that actually would do away with the sex offender tracking for some rapes and some molestation of minors cases.
Yeah, well, the neat thing is, and let me just relieve you, Jim, that bill is dead for the year. See, there's this, it's just a wacko idea, again, by a homosexual leader of San Francisco, Scott Wiener. But the great thing is that there are several bills that are so radical that they have been stopped for the year. Dead for the year is that one. Dead for the year is another bill that would eliminate parental rights and doctor's recommendations for corrective surgery for infants with abnormal or ambiguous genitals. See, they went against the doctors and the surgeons. They said, look, look, we do this corrective surgery. This is an XX girl or an XY boy, and it just got mixed up because we live in a fallen world, as we know as Christians. So when the homosexual activists, Democrat legislators, went against the police or the judges or the doctors or just the rule of law and order, their bills ran into problems. The other bills did for the year would have eliminated legal evidence in order to change gender on state certificates. There's already a process on that. You have to go to court and say, hey, I was born male and now I claim to be female and vice versa. We have a system, and so it would interrupt that system. So that went down for the year. And then you had another bill dead for the year, which would have required police to ask in every murder case questions about LGBTQIA. And, of course, that would advance the homosexual, transsexual agenda, and how uncomfortable would it be for victims to be barraged with these types of questions when we're talking about life and death, not about anything else.
Randy Thomason with us.
Those are dead for the year. Those are dead for the year because they're so controversial and it went against established law and order and medical.
Indeed.
That's how radical the LGBT agenda is.
Yeah, I mean, to see that these even were proposed, and what happens, Randy, as you know, so they have defeat one year, but it's going to come back next legislative session as well, and so they get more co-sponsors onto it and take it to the next level, but it's incremental. You know, so we fail this session, they'll bring it back again.
Yeah, so I think a Christian value would be don't vote for Democrats because they're going to push this big government, higher taxes, anti-family, unconstitutional agenda. And, of course, don't vote for homosexual legislators or candidates because they are going to do even worse. So this is the evidence, and don't just say that's California. Generationally, we got the same stuff taught in the government schools. There's no school in the United States that is called a public school that allows children to be taught that they were created by God.
But
one government school has allowed children to hear that.
So
what are we going to get in this other states?
And what I also heard you say is that you got members of the GOP that are caving lock, step, and barrel with this as well.
Right. They decided that they win this way. No, they lose. They lose pro-family voters. They've lost me. And so we need to pay attention, and don't just vote for D, don't just vote for R. You need to look at where they stand on moral values. If you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself someone who believes the Bible, if you call yourself someone who has family values or believes in our Constitution, that you would salute the flag instead of bend the knee, you need to do your own homework every single election and not just do what the union bosses tell you in the mailers and the radio ads. You need to actually do your own homework and be more responsible and then inform everybody you know in your family so you can encourage them how to vote right, something that will please God, not please the establishment.
Randy Thomason with us today. A quick break, and folks, so when we come back, Randy's going to provide us his website where you can learn more about these pieces of legislation and others as well, because as it goes in California, folks, it spreads like wildfire across the nation. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. James 4:14 poses this thought: for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. Randy Thomason is with us today. And, folks, when we saw the litany of bills that are going before the California legislature, and when we know that there are the writers of textbooks that are happening in California, and we also know the hub of the movie industry and entertainment industry in California, and how this mindset is perpetrated, you know, within the film industry and through television, etc. We see this proliferated across this nation. We're taking a look at just some of the many issues that are before the California legislature this time, and I can see time is not going to permit us to go through them all, but Randy, you've got a listing on your website of things that you've been tracking there at Save California and the Campaign for Children and Families. How can our listeners access what's going on there?
Well, just go to SaveCalifornia.com. SaveCalifornia.com. And here's the action. Although we talked about a lot of bills, we have only action alerts for two of the bills because we only think we have a chance of seeing two of the bills defeated
with
a possible veto. But here's the action on all the bills, and the action should be the same for everyone. Take our list, copy it into an email, or post it online, and say, this is what you get with the Democrats. You got to educate people that this is what you get with the Democrats. All the bills we talked about today are authored by Democrat state legislators.
Randy Thomason, our guest, we're going to open our phone lines. Perhaps you have a question you'd like to ask, a comment on the topic here today, As Goes California. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. A litany of bills. And one of the cases in point, Randy, it was not too long ago that we saw pass through California the mandate that it'll be taught in the schools about the positive role models homosexuals have been in our history, according to the curricula writers. And now, when we see things like that pass in California, and now we have state after state after state that is saying, me too, and we need to adopt that into our legislature and through our state, and now we've got multiple states that are requiring this mandatory LGBTQ education be taught to highlight the role models that represent this sexual perversion, but put them out there before our kids.
Right. And we have to notice that this is being done only in states where Democrats control the state government. It's not happening in Republican states like Tennessee, or Florida. You know, it's not doing it that way. So you know where you have a bad platform or good platform. You know where the sexual lies are coming from. They're coming from the Democrats. And they are basically selling out to the highest bidder. And the politicians that do this are like prostitutes, just working for a pimp. It's like people, you might say the children of God versus children of the devil. I'm not saying that's who they are politically, but you can see a big difference when somebody works for something. They don't even study it. They don't even look in the Bible. They don't even look in science. They don't even look at logic. They just do the bidding of the higher power, and they don't care who it harms as long as they get paid.
Let's go to Roy calling in from Bayside, Wisconsin. Roy, you're on the air.
Three sentences, quickly. Thomas Jefferson said that to force people to pay for spreading ideas that they don't believe in, that is sinful and tyrannical. The original sin behind all these evils is forced unionism, forcing a job applicant to join and pay union dues as a condition of getting hired and keeping a job. Lastly, every state should have a right-to-work law, which means that you don't have to join or donate to a union in order to get or keep a job.
Thank you, Roy. Your response.
Amen to that. And, California is not a right-to-work state. I think there are 28 right-to-work states. California and the big Democrat-run states are not right-to-work. So it's forced unionism, or makes it very hard for people to figure out how to get out of the union. It's all sucking up this money that goes into lies during campaigns, elected Democrats, by fooling the voters.
We have Star calling in from Marshfield. Star, you're on the air.
I agree with everything that's been presented, but my question is, I've always said, if you vote Republican, you're trying to eliminate the Democrat, and if you vote independent, the Democrats will automatically win. So he said that he's now an independent voter. There aren't enough on the ballot to even vote for. How can
right.
you defeat
well,
the Democrats?
Yeah, well, ma'am, I do vote for moral Republicans. We can do that in California because there's an open ballot to do so. But, no, I want to vote for the best candidate that has a chance, but a candidate for moral values. Now, truly, there are some elections, some races where I've held my nose. I can't vote for either candidate because I don't want to drink toilet water. This just goes too far down, and I really don't have a choice.
So the point is evaluating candidates not by what letter is behind their name, but what do they stand for? What are their moral values? What is their moral compass that guides them in life? It's not the letter behind their name. What values do they uphold and stand, and what platform do they follow? What is their dictate in that regard?
I've always done that, but
right.
sometimes there aren't even enough independents out there to even vote for, is
mm-hmm.
my point.
Yeah. Thank you,
yeah,
sir.
Well, good for you, ma'am. We need to vote for people who are moral, social, fiscal conservatives, and constitutional people. That's what we need to do. And we need to actually recruit candidates from churches. It's so important that churches actually target water boards and other city commissions, and then the city council and the local school district board, and then the county government. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. The second greatest commandment is actually exemplified by what we do in our lives. And when the government is hurting your neighbor, well, just think how a Christian on the board or even the majority on the board can love people, love strangers, protect them, and do good for them. So really, we need to think this way like the Founding Fathers did.
Star, thank you for the call today. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air.
Oh, God bless all you saints, and thank you for taking the call. What we're seeing today, he's saying, so goes California goes, so goes the nation. What you're seeing is fallen angels inspiring the governments in California, the Democratic Party. And they perverted angels. And Satan knows that his time is short, so he's doing this to spread it across the nation. And like I always say, I pick up my Bible first and ask God, you show me what to say when I get on the air. Parents, take your kids and put them in home schools. Because if you read Acts 4 and 19 and 20, and Peter and John are answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, meaning our government, more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They're talking gospel there. They're telling us. The Bible says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and the things that are God, unto God. Parents, raise your kids. And thank you for praying for us out here in Florida. But I look at it as God's judgment. He's going to send that wind where he wants and how he wants. God bless you all, and thank you for the program.
Thank you, Courtney, for your call here today. I'd like to, one of the things Courtney pointed out here is the fact that we're very much in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why Scripture tells us, Randy, to put on the armor of God, and having done all, we need to stand.
Yeah, and in that vein, we also need to think like the movies that try to depict an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other. Really, there's temptation. There's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And we can have that when we have a worldview, or when we think about voting, or we think about our children's schooling. We can have the pride in ourselves. We can have the lust of the flesh, which says, I don't want to get uncomfortable. I want this possession instead of church schooling or homeschooling. You know, I want to have the pleasure of the TV show rather than do my homework on a candidate. So we really have to repent ourselves. When Jesus said repent, the Apostle Paul said repent, Peter said repent, it's throughout the New Testament. We have to repent of our lack of responsibility, our lack of love in the church. We're told in Scripture that judgment will begin at the house of God, and we must look at ourselves first before we even point the finger at the world. So I say, do self-inventory and make sure you don't vote for evil, because that's why we're getting evil, because people in the church, it seems half of them sometimes, are either not voting or voting for evil, and that's sin.
Let's go to Lynn in Germantown. You're on the air, Lynn.
Hi. I'm just following along with the lady that was talking about voting for independence. We haven't supported the financially, we haven't supported the Republican Party in some time, but we generally vote Republican. I've never voted Democrat because of the party platform. And even though sometimes I don't like the person that's the Republican because they haven't done what they said they were going to do, I feel like I have some basis to go back at them and say, you are not adhering to your platform. Your platform says the following, and there are, you know, mostly moral teachings in their platform. There are none that I can find in the Democratic Party because they just wipe God out, and they support abortion and all kinds of other things that are immoral. So I just don't see myself saying, well, I don't have a choice if I'm voting for a Republican that is, you know, less than he should be in terms of what he's standing for. At least I've got the platform to go back and use it against him to say, you are doing wrong by your party. What do you think of that?
Well, I'll give you a couple thoughts. Thanks for your good comments. One is that when we get liberal, pro-perversity Republicans, it's a failure of the church. It means the church has not recruited a good candidate, but the church has basically said, okay, the world does it, and we're going to see what's less bad. So it's a failure of the church, and really, we have to have a standard. I encourage people of faith to have their own standard for voting, but to stick with it, because if it keeps changing year after year, it means you keep dumbing down, and that standard was never a standard. In fact, I have a joke. If there are two candidates, one's a Democrat and one's a Republican, the Democrat is the devil, and the Republican is the beast out of the book of Revelation. Well, would the church vote for the beast? Because they'd say, well, at least we'll get 3.5 good years.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I mean, we really have to have a standard that can't be moved. This is why some Christians would die for their faith, or they would not bow down to idols. Yes, there's suffering when we don't bow down. So we got to be careful about having a standard that doesn't shift.
Thank you for the call. And again, I want to underscore, Randy is speaking his thoughts on this issue. His views belong to himself. And certainly our program itself is nonpartisan. But folks, we do address the issues and encourage you to weigh what does this person say? What are they standing for? What do they represent? Does this uphold biblical truth? Does it not uphold biblical truth? And certainly we need to follow the moral compass that God has given to us through his word, the Bible. Back in just a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Last week, my wife and I had the privilege of filming our TV show inside the home of Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's one of the homes in which she wrote 4 of the 8 Little House on the Prairie books. We set up in the living room and filmed. In fact, the home is so well preserved because, well, when she passed away in February of 57, it became a museum that May. It's original furniture and original content. It's highly professional, and their museum is only 4 years old. I highly recommend anyone take this tour in Mansfield, Missouri. The media last year jumped on the fact that a library association decided to take Laura's name off of an award. Why? Because apparently now she's a racist. Well, aren't we all, if you hold to traditional values, marriage, and a Christian worldview and free market principles? Don't let the media destroy the worldview image of someone like Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Randy Thomas and our guest today from SaveCalifornia.com, SaveCalifornia.com, and let's go right back to the phone lines. Our number here is 800-733-9829. Chris is calling from Somerset, Kentucky, and Chris, you're on the air with Randy Thomason.
Hi, I was just wanting to talk on the topic about just general corruption in the government, as well as y'all were talking earlier about the LGBT community. And if we look closely at who these people tend to be, you know, because everyone likes to say there's a 1% that rules over us. Everyone likes to agree that there's corruption in the government, but I don't think most people are looking at the names of these people, and they're in the pockets of normally both Republican and Democrat. They, you know, it even goes down to, you know, local senators and Congress people. And, I mean, it's going to offend a lot of people, but it tends to be Jewish people. Not enough people want to accept that fact no. that it is Jewish people that are corrupting our children.
I can't accept that categorically, because I look at the background of so many, Chris, that are coming from a non-Jewish perspective in this regard, that we see that corruption that is taking place here across this nation. So I cannot put a finger and say, yes, that is because of this, that is the case. But what we do see is a commonality of people whose hearts are estranged from God and who have turned their back on Him and turned their back on Holy Scripture in this regard. And certainly that's where our focus needs to be. And knowing that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation in that regard. We're going to pick up Judy in East Troy, Wisconsin. Judy, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to have you repeat the bill number for the student ID with the Planned Parenthood address, phone number on the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's AB624, and it's on the website SaveCalifornia.com. Share this information with your friends. Tell them what they get with the Democrats. Jim, I also want to say what a test is that I value to determine whether someone is corrupt. When we're talking about public officials, they all swear, usually in a Bible, but some not these days, but they swear to uphold, support, and defend the Constitution of their state and the Constitution of our country, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we see what's plain in the Constitution, such as the state attorney general will defend the vote of the people, you know. You see a person being unconstitutional when they make that pledge, but then they don't follow it. To support the vote of people, to support the law. Kamala Harris, who's running for president, she's a U.S. Senator, Democrat. As state attorney general, she refused to support the law, so she was corrupt. She didn't support the vote of the people in marriage. Won't defend it in court, despite her disagreement. She let it languish. And then when she was a DA of this of San Francisco, the law said death penalty for murderers. Well, she, even with a cop killer, she said she won't pursue the death penalty. So she would put her own agenda above the agenda of her boss, which is the Constitution, the written words of the Constitution. So that's how I determine who's a political charlatan, who is an elected official who's corrupt. If they go against the Constitution, the plain words of it, and the original intent, they are corrupt.
Hmm. Judy, again, thank you for the call. Again, as mentioned here, that is the Assembly Bill 624 in California. AB 624, thank you for the call. We should mention something else taking place in California. As you mentioned, the former Attorney General and now the current Attorney General, Xavier Becerra, starting today, matter of fact, Liberty Counsel is involved in a two-week preliminary criminal hearing in San Francisco Superior Court today. Sandra Merritt has got 15 felony charges brought against her by the California Attorney General for undercover, investigations going on, exposing Planned Parenthood, a very critical issue going on in your state as we speak here, Randy.
Yeah. See, the truth says, hey, not only are babies being slaughtered, but their body parts are being sold in violation of federal law. So the cameras uncovered this, and then the Democrats went, whoa, we can't allow this truth. Let's punish these videographers, these journalists. Let's make sure nobody does this again. Let's put the light back in the closet. That's spiritually what's going on. And so, yeah, pray for the protection of Sandra and pray for her great attorneys at Liberty Counsel and help them out. That's a battle we need to win.
Mm-hmm. Randy, as we've reviewed just many pieces of legislation that very well may be voted on within the next day, week, or weeks, how would you describe, we have just a minute and a half left, how would you describe the state of the church in California? Are they rising up and speaking forth? Are they involved in the prayer? Are they involved in the repentance you spoke of? What's the state of the church in California?
I see more and more pastors calling on their congregation, pray that God would change their community. And you know what? It's a far cry from 20, 30 years ago when pastors would say, let's go change our community. We are seeing a lackluster, stay-in-the-closet type of Christianity. And social action is not really there. Social service, yes, but not social action. So, of course, government is getting worse when the church is looking the other way. The church needs to remember, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, or strength. That includes in the ballot box, includes in government. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what government is all about, with its hurting or helping people, your neighbors. We've got to get biblical.
Randy Thomason, our guest today, and again, the website is savecalifornia.com, savecalifornia.com. Randy, thanks so much for carving some time out of your schedule to join us today.
Thank you, Jim. It's been worth it, and I hope people were helped.
And friends, we trust that as these issues are going on, that you are attuned and alert to what is taking place, knowing that as so often what happens in California migrates across this nation into state legislatures as well. Are you paying attention? Are you being that watchman on the wall as matters impact your state as well? I tell you, it is sometimes like a tsunami that is hitting us across this nation. And many times those gates are first entered through the state of California as they make their way across the nation. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.